We have been going through a study of King David for a number of weeks now, and we're going to continue that. But today, since we were privileged to dedicate this little life and this family to the Lord, I want us to really turn our attention to this. And I'm going to speak about a passage where some children were brought to Jesus and talk about the importance of dedicating our children, but also ourselves to the Lord. And Austin and Bennett, this is for you, but it's for all of us today, and I wanted to share this with you. Let's bow our heads and just pray and ask God to speak to our hearts through His Word. Father, we are grateful to see little ones come into families where they're loved and cared for. And Lord, we know that Ricardo will be loved and cared for in his life. We pray, Lord, that you would help this young couple who, no doubt, Lord, their heart is to do a good job and to point that little life to you. And I pray that you'd help them and help their families as they stand right beside them in this task. We ask you, Lord, to speak to each of our hearts through your word today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we experienced here really has great significance, and that's what we want to talk about. You know, there are differing traditions on baby dedications. Some parts of the Christian church baptize babies, and when Bennett had contacted me, she asked if we baptize babies, and we don't. I told her that we do a baby dedication, and that baptism is one of those steps of obedience for people who've put their faith in Christ and where they let their faith be known. But we do follow a tradition that is very old, and that is of presenting children to God by way of dedication. In the Old Testament, a lady by the name of Hannah and her husband Elkanah prayed for a child, and they were blessed by a child by the name of Samuel. And that couple took that child and presented that child to God and said, God, thank you for your gift to us. And they basically gave that child to the Lord. In the New Testament, you have the account in the gospel where Jesus was brought by his parents to the temple and was presented to the Lord there in the temple. It was a public confession on the part of the parents that this child is a gift from God. And there is a verse in the Psalms. It says, I'm going to ask, could you bring that up, please, Robert? Psalm 127, verse 3. I'll see if we're up to bringing that up. Good. All right. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. This time of dedication is not a magic formula where this child receives a free pass to heaven, but it is rather a recognition of God's blessing and a commitment on the part of these parents and their families to bring their child up to know Christ and to walk in His ways. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. I want to read verses 13 through 16. And it was a custom of that time for parents to bring their children to the rabbi or to the teacher and to ask God's blessing on the child. And let me just read these verses 13 through 16. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. We said it was a custom of that time to bring the children to a teacher, to the rabbi, and ask for a blessing on that child. And as the parents were bringing their children to Jesus, his disciples, his helpers, they started scolding the parents and running the kids off. Maybe they thought that Jesus was just too busy to be bothered with these little ones. I think of a line from a W.C. Fields movie. Some of you older folks will know that. Do you remember that line? "Go away, kid, you bother me." Maybe You've said that at times in your own life. Go away, kid. You bother me. But Jesus told those disciples, you know, that they might have also thought that, well, he shouldn't be wasting his time on these little kids. He needs to be speaking to important people, leaders. If he's going to amass a movement here, kick the Romans out, establish God's people in their own kingdom once again, then he ought to be meeting with the leaders, the shakers and the movers. Why is he wasting his time with these children? Whatever their reasoning, Jesus made it clear that the children had a special place in his heart, because he took the time to bless them and to talk with them. And boy, even in our own culture, we realize that sometimes young people just get pushed to the side. And what an important lesson in itself that we need to take time and to care for the young ones in our midst. But Jesus encouraged the parents, and he also taught the disciples that he told them, bring the children to me, basically saying that they were important. And so, Austin and Bennett, today you followed in an important and a meaningful example of bringing your child and dedicating him and yourselves to the Lord, acknowledging the awesome responsibility of raising this little one to know and to honor God, and to one day respond to the invitation of God to come unto him. That certainly was a prayer for Deb and I, that our children would all come to know Christ and put their faith in him and be assured of their eternal home in heaven. And that certainly will be on your heart in the days ahead. Well, in this passage that we read this morning, Jesus not only shows his love and his consideration for children, but he also uses the moment to teach those adults and his disciples something. And here's what he said. I want to look at verse 14 and 15 again. Verse 14 says, "Let the children come to me and don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." And then he goes on to say in verse 15, "I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." So what was Jesus saying? In order to enter the kingdom of God, we need to display some characteristics that all of us were born with, but tend to grow out of as we grow older. Simply put, to trust our souls to Jesus as a child would to a loving and caring parent. Now, you know, there are a lot of childlike characteristics that Jesus could have been talking about. And he wasn't talking about being childish. Sometimes we're childish and not childlike. But he's talking about some characteristics. And we're going to take a closer look at three today. Three characteristics that Jesus no doubt was looking at as he spoke to his disciples. And he corrected those disciples. He said, look, you're assuming that children are unimportant in the kingdom of God. And he said, let them come to me. Do not keep them from coming to me. Do not get in the way of their coming to me. But also he went on to say, in fact, you need adults to take a look at these children. You can learn something from a child. So what can we learn? Three things this morning. First of all is dependence. Dependence. God wants us to look to him and to depend on him to supply the things that we need to live out our days in accordance with his will for us. You know something? You don't have to teach a child how to be dependent, do you? They have no choice. You got to carry them around. You've got to feed them. You've got to take care of all of it. And I was thinking about this in this past week. Humanity seems to take a lot of time and a lot of care to get up and running. You know, some species in God's creation, they're born, they hit their feet, and they're on their way. You think about how long it takes to get a child. There are some still. I remember a movie called Failure to Launch, and that happens sometimes. This guy in his 40s still hadn't grown up yet. But you realize in bringing up a child how much care is required. And they seem so unstable and wobbly in their life. But I'll tell you, friends, once a human gets up and going, it's hard to stop them. They'll end up on the moon, won't they? And I remember years ago hearing a professor at a distinguished university make a statement. I was shocked when I heard it. And this professor said, mankind is nothing but a bipedal animal, nothing special about a man. And I thought to myself, that is a refusal to see the difference. Now, we love God's creation and we're supposed to be good stewards of it, but there is something distinctly different about mankind, God's crowning achievement. And so it does take a long time to get little ones up and going, and little ones are dependent. You know, I remember bringing our first child, he's now 36 years old, bringing him home from the hospital, and I have a distinct memory of loading him up in our car. It was a brown Oldsmobile, and we had that big car seat in the back, and I remember thinking, okay, now what? Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
I know it's going back many years for some here, but I do, feeling that somehow they shouldn't have let me go home with this child so soon, because we didn't know what to do. But you know what? We figured it out.
Amen.
And we kept having them. We had two more. You know, that baby was completely dependent upon us to supply all of his needs. He was counting on us to feed him, to clean him, to comfort him, to care for him. And you know, it helps us to understand God's great love for us. You know, we like to think as we get older that we are totally self-sufficient, a self-made man, a self-made woman. We like to think that we're righteous enough compared to others. We tend to pick people that we stack up pretty well against, all right? We also like to think that we've got it all figured out. But you know what those are, friends? Those are adult fantasies. Those are adult fairy tales. Life and what it brings our way can take us to our knees, and many in this room know exactly what that's all about. But it is there on our knees that we realize how important it is to depend upon God. I picked out a couple of areas that we can look to God and look to Him to meet and provide in our lives. The first area, and there's a couple passages of Scripture I want to look at, we can depend on Him for strength. In Psalm 46, I want to read these verses, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 46, I'm guessing they're going to bring it up on the screens as well. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come. You know what earthquakes do? They shake the ground beneath your feet. I grew up in Florida. I'd only seen earthquakes and their aftermath on TV. We moved to the West Indies and lived in the islands for 7 years. And I can remember sitting in the chair. Deb and the kids had gone to sleep. And the chair I was sitting in was jumping around like popcorn popping on a hot skillet. And I'd never experienced that. Anybody here ever experienced an earthquake underneath your feet? Okay, some of you have. The ground shakes. It's just totally disorienting. I got up and I didn't even know which way to run. You know, events in life can come our way to really shake the ground beneath our feet, but it says that God can provide strength even in those times. Verse 3, let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. The Lord is our refuge and strength. I want to turn to the New Testament and read a verse from the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13. Philippians 4 verses 12 and 13. I love hearing babies' voices in the church. It's a good thing. This is the Apostle Paul giving a testimony, saying how God has met his needs. He said, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether It is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And so, friends, there is great comfort in knowing that God can provide the strength that we do not have as we go through life. Not only strength, but God provides wisdom. Turn to James chapter 1. I want to read verses 5 through 8, that God provides wisdom, and we can depend on Him for wisdom. As you and I go through life, there are times where we just don't know what to do. It's challenging. What do we do? What direction do we head? And here's what we find, that we can seek wisdom from God. Let me read these verses. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. We read on. It says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. If you ask God to give you direction, don't be playing games. Seek Him, and then determine to do what He has revealed to you. You know, we also can depend on God for protection in our lives. And I want to read this passage, Psalm 121. Verses 1 and 2, we read these because this is God's testimony regarding His character. And it's important to know what God has to say about life and about us trusting Him. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We look to God who made the mountains, and so we find protection in Him. And I'm going to go to another thing that we speak about, and that is provision. We can depend upon God for provision. And probably one of the most well-known passages in the Bible regarding God meeting our needs, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read these verses here for you. I want you to follow along, if you would, on the screens. God's provision for us. This is what Jesus had to say about looking to God. Jesus speaks about worry in our lives and whether we're going to trust God to meet our needs. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that they are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Let me read on, verses 31 through 34. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen to that.
Amen.
And so provision, just like our children rely on us for their daily needs, shelter, food, love, and so many other things, so we are encouraged to depend fully upon God to provide for our needs. Now I want to talk about a second thing that be a characteristic. One is dependence, a recognition and looking to God to meet our needs. But the second is trust. And that is another characteristic that children seem to have in spades. And dependence and trust are similar, but there are some differences. Dependence acknowledges our need and looks to who can fill it. Trust is believing that God is who He said He is and He will deliver on His promises enough to follow where He says go and to do what He says do, knowing that He has our best interest at heart. And it's interesting, children seem to be more inclined to trust than we adults. I guess after you've been burned a few times, it's sometimes hard to manage trust, isn't it? So children are more inclined to trust. And I was thinking about, us growing our kids up. I knew I was going to be addressing this young couple today and just this wonderful gift in their life. I was thinking about years ago, about 31 years ago, I was trying to figure out the years. Our son Scott, he was our firstborn. He's got an 8-year-old son of his own now. He was about 5 years old, and we had a sailboat, and we used to go and sail up the intercoastal and drop our anchor and hang out. So I decided I was going to take, it was going to be a father and son camp out on the boat. And so we went out, and we used to keep the boat moored by the 10-cent bridge in Stewart on a mooring there. And we went out and anchored outside of the channel just north of Sandsprit Park. If you've ever been on a boat, you've probably been through that area. And I dropped the anchor. We had gotten some Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we ate that. What we didn't eat, we put on hooks, and we fished. We caught some catfish. And then it started to get dark. And little Scott climbed up into what they call a V-berth. That's that bunk way up in the front of the pointy end of a sailboat. And he went off to sleep. And, you know, it seemed like he didn't have a care in the world. He slept the whole night through. I didn't. You know, I was worried about dragging anchor. I was worried about the tide changing and dragging me back into the channel and getting run over by a bigger boat. But you know what, Scott? He slept the whole night through. It was the worst night of camping I think I've ever had. But you know, it said something to me that he trusted his dad. He trusted his dad, and he slept well. And it seems that Jesus is pointing to that kind of trust on our part, to trust God in that way. You know, Scott, he wasn't looking around all night, and he wasn't tossing and turning, you know, thinking about all the possible scenarios that could happen to his dear little life. He just trusted his dad. Just a week ago, we had one of our grandsons over, Ashley, our daughter, and her son came and spent a few days with us. We get into all kinds of trouble when he does come. We play the whole time. But we sat down to eat, and his name's Benaiah, and he's a picky eater. But I had some sweet potatoes that we'd cut up, and I said, "Here, Benaiah, eat this." And he took it and put it right in his mouth, and he ate it and swallowed it. And then on the next day, I made him a kale shake. It's not even red and green. It's some kind of color between brown and green. And I said, "Benaiah, give this a try." And he put that straw to his mouth, and he loved it. And I think, boy, that little guy trusts his grandpa. If you want to come over, I'll make you one sometime. For some reason, I can't talk many of our family into it. You know, for a child, they trust because they assume that their parents are always looking out for them and always there with their best interest in mind. And I thought, how sad it is when a child doesn't have that. And many children do. Many children grow up without that kind of mom or dad who are there in their lives. You know, we can trust God, and that's what we're called to. Jesus said, this is how you enter the kingdom of God. You simply trust him. And you know, I've thought about this. A child doesn't need everything explained about their care. They're just enjoying the fact that you do it. And friends, I'm going to be honest with you. There's not everything that we can explain about a life before God. But I want to tell you this. Step in and enjoy it, and you'll be glad you did. You'll know what it's like to go to bed at night and have some peace of mind, knowing that if the worst thing happened, the best would happen. You'd be with God. There's some peace in that. Just enjoy it. You know, I can't stand here today and tell you I can explain all the mysteries of God and why bad things happen to good people. I can't. God does. He knows. And someday we'll know better than we know now. But what a child does, a child enjoys what a parent provides. I want to read this verse. I'm going to ask, could you bring it up if you would, Rob? Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. I found a quote from an English minister and theologian by the name of John Stott. And he said this, and I want you to listen to this and listen to what's behind it. He says this: faith is a reasoning trust which reckons thoughtfully and confidently upon the trustworthiness of God. Let me read it again. Faith is a reasoning trust, a trust which reckons thoughtfully and confidently upon the trustworthiness of God. And so, friends, when you and I are called upon to trust God, even in situations that scare us and that are challenging to us, we are called upon to think about what God has already done. Take a look at the world around you. You can see, if you're looking honestly, that this design that you and I live in is incredible. Right down to our very existence. I speak about it from time to time here. Just your eyesight, your ability to be able to see, of light reflecting off of other objects, and your brain being able to take that light and translate it into comprehension. It's incredible. It's a very, very detailed, complex machinery and a very, very complex system. But we, you know, sometimes we do take it for granted. Trust that God who made us. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So Jesus said, you know, here's how you enter the kingdom of God: dependence upon God, trust. And here's another one that we see, the third one and the last, and that is persistence. I'm going to ask you to think about this. Have you ever been shopping with a three-year-old lately? They make it clear that they would like to own one of everything in the store. Have you ever watched a young child try to get their parents' attention when their parent is talking to somebody else? They want a response, and they want it now. And they are persistent, and they want you to know that they're there. Have you ever heard a newborn that was crying because they were hungry? Can you leave them to sit still for another 20 minutes while you finish something up? Does that work pretty well, Bennett? No, that doesn't work too well. And here, have you ever told a child that they could have a piece of candy later? And they will ask you 785 times, is it later yet? That is persistence. Would you agree with me that children are persistent? They are. They will ask over and over and over again for what they want. Now, most of us think of that as something negative, but you know, Jesus said that when it comes to prayer, when it comes to talking to God and asking God for those things that are important and needy in our life, he said that is a quality that we should have. I want to look at this passage in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. We talk about going to God with our needs. And Austin and Bennett, I will tell you, you will pray a lot of prayers to the good Lord as you grow this little life up. Just for wisdom, Lord, keep them safe. Help us to know what to do. And so what it's saying is, don't give up in your prayers. Let me read these verses. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. And so he tells a story. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a justice decision in the ends. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, How many will he find on the earth who have faith? And so he's saying, keep believing and keep trusting God and keep asking him. Don't give up praying. A childlike persistence before God, waiting to see what God will do. So dependence, trust, and persistence. Now, there are many other childlike qualities. You know, we could learn a lot from children, can't we? So, Austin and Bennett, we turn to you and just remind you what a privilege to be involved in the life of your child. This little life that you dedicated to God is precious to God and no doubt precious to you and your family. The commitments that you and your families have made are serious, and they are a huge responsibility. But you don't carry those responsibilities alone. Your families, your friends, even this church, who've watched Austin and Travis grow up and have gotten to know you, Bennett, and your family, they are to come along beside you to encourage you, to pray for you, and to do all that we can and should do to help you as you guys give your child the knowledge of the Lord that that child needs. Austin and Bennett, here is some direct words to you guys. Love him. Love Ricardo. Teach him. Teach him by what you say and teach him by what you do. You're going to be amazed to see how these little guys, they're watching, and they will call you on it too when what you're doing is not matching what you've been saying. So, and understand that what you do actually carries more weight than what you say. But don't for a minute think that what you say doesn't matter, because it does matter. Be there. Be there in his life. Don't miss it. When I see young couples and they're blessed to have children in their home, I try to get a word in, and try not to be too much of the preacher. But I usually always say, don't miss it. Do not miss it. There are a whole lot of other pursuits that can be followed, a whole lot of other things that will be calling out to you. All I will say is, do not miss it. You'll be surprised how quickly it will all pass, faster than you can imagine. The next thing, you turn around and that little one be riding a bicycle. It just happens that fast. Lord help you when he starts driving. Okay. So be there. And this, point his little face to God. Your jobs are to feed, to put a shelter over this little child, to put clothes on their back. But your jobs also are to teach and to model for that little life who God is and what God wants in life. And nobody can do it as well as you guys can in his life. And family and friends, it's such an encouragement to see the families show up in mass today. I would just encourage you to help Austin and Bennett with this awesome task they have before them. Help them in this. Pray for them. And be there for them as well. And know that some things that they're going to go through, they're just going to have to go through. It's tough as a parent to sometimes to stand back and to know this is going to happen and they're not listening, but we just encourage you to be there for them. Let me close with this today. To each and every one that's here, Jesus made a very important statement when he spoke to his disciples. He called them on it. They were thinking, these kids, they're just getting in the way. Jesus has got more important stuff to do. And Jesus stopped it and shut it down. He said, listen, he said, bring the children. They're a part of what God has done. And he goes on to say, in fact, you adults, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you want to be a part of what God's doing, you've got to step back and become as a child. Dependence, trust, and persistence. That's just a few. Let's all stand. We're going to pray and ask God to bless us as we head out. If there's something that's on your heart today that you would like to pray about, at the end of our church services here, we have what's called an invitation, and that is an invitation that if you would like to know that Jesus is your Savior, that you could trust in His mercy, and you're unsure of how to do that, we'll take the Bible and show you what it means to be a follower of Christ, a Christian. If you are a follower of Christ, be reminded of this, that sometimes in our lives we get pretty self-sufficient. You know, I made myself. Nobody else made me. Keep in mind, the very air that you and I are breathing, the ground we walk on, has all been provided by a great Creator God who loves us. So let us keep that in mind as we go through life and brings our hearts where they need to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. What a joyous day it is, Lord, for this family, these families, for the church family, Lord, to have seen Austin and Travis and their family. These guys grow up and now have children of their own, and Lord, to have married and to share their life and love with their spouses, Lord, we do ask you to help them and bless them. And Lord, help us to be wise and to be an encouragement and a help. And Lord, to be an example before this family and this little one coming up. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.